right, Corey?
Hit him up.
Jeremiah, hit me.
Got him. Got him, coach. Oh, yeah. Touchdown, baby.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Let's go, baby.
Woo. Go Niners.
Go Niners. I have to cheer for the Niners.
Give me some.
Let it drop. He's warming his hands. I'll do it, too. Come on, coach. Yeah. Let's go. Let's do this. What's up? How you guys doing today? Welcome to Football Sunday. Woo!
Go Niners.
Boy, it's good to be here today. Well, I want to welcome those of you worshiping with us online and on Facebook Live and from our family. There's little tiny babies in there.
That's right.
Little baby Cowboys fans.
Oh, don't do it to me.
Right?
Don't do it to me. Jeremiah, don't do that. He loves the Cowboys, and we have this running thing, and so just to let him know, I was just thinking, like, what is one of the greatest plays? I just thought we just put it right up here on the screen for him.
Wait a minute.
He loves to see it. He loves a reminder.
I don't know what that play is. Look, I don't know what play that is.
That was thrown by the greatest player ever to play in the NFL, Joe Montana. Inspired.
I gotta give him credit.
Say amen if you think Joe's the GOAT. Say amen. Yes, he is.
Probably. I mean, you know, the Cowboys had a few GOATs too, like Roger Staubach and Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin.
That's true.
You know?
Who is your favorite Cowboy?
Neon Deion Sanders, baby.
Seriously?
Which the Niners try to claim.
He was a Niner.
No.
That's what made him so good. Yeah.
Three Super Bowls with the Cowboys. Deion Sanders, baby, right there.
You know who my favorite Dallas Cowboy is of all time? It's not Troy. It's not Emmitt. It's not Michael Irvin. It's not Jason Witten. It's Everson Walls. It's this guy right here. That's my favorite Cowboy of all time. He's just helpless.
Ha, ha, ha. So funny. So funny. Whoa. All joking aside, hopefully we're done with that joking anyway. I want to welcome you to CBC. Are you guys excited to be here? Yeah. Also, hey, if you're new here, I want to extend a special welcome to you. We're so glad that you came to celebrate this football weekend, Super Bowl Sunday, with us here at CBC. We promise you will not regret it. Today is going to be a blast. I want to let you know, if you are new, on your way out, stop by our information center in the lobby and say, I'm new here. Because we have a gift we want to give you just to say we hope you'll come back, because we're so glad that you came.
Hey, let's
today.
Give away some gifts right now. Anybody want a Niners t-shirt right here? Right here?
Who wants
right
a couple there? Of these
front
things?
Row? Yeah?
T-shirt, anybody? Oh, you
somebody
guys
else?
Are decked out.
In
t-shirt?
Yeah.
What up? Who wants a foam finger? Come get one. You want a foam finger? Come and get it. Go ahead. Come and get it. Yeah.
Four.
Sorry, we're out of the old t-shirts. There you go. So he's going to go down.
In the back. Right there. Your mom's, you don't even know it, your mom's pointing to you. Are you so embarrassed? Here, take this right here.
What could go better together than football and mom? It's awesome.
One more.
Love it.
Yeah, you were waving.
It's like a chunky Campbell soup commercial. Hey, also, you noticed you got a program when you came in today. If you'd open that up and tear out the Connect card and take just a moment to fill out that Connect card, we're going to pray before we receive our tithes and offerings. If you would drop your completed Connect card in the basket when it passes by you, that would be great. You'll notice there's a place on the back for prayer requests. If you would like prayer, that's what we're here for. We want to pray for you, support you, encourage you. We have a group of confidential prayer warriors who cover every request specifically by name this week. So you want to go ahead and fill that out and drop it in the offering. If the offering passes by before you can get it completed, that's okay. In the lobby, we have some Connect boxes. You can just drop your completed card in after the service. Tyler, what else we got going on today?
Yeah, if you are relatively new to our church, you may have noticed that about a year ago, we launched this movement called For the Valley, and it's based on this idea that for far too long the church has been known for what it's against, but we want to be known for what we're, what?
For.
For. That's what we want to be. So we're for the local families, local schools, local government, local businesses. We're for, and speaking of for, how about high school students? How about a round of applause for the Santa Mona High School marching band? Aren't they amazing coming in here this morning? Speaking of high school students, one of the things that we do, we're not just for the Valley, And we do that because God is for us, and so we want to be for the people of our valley. But we're for the nations, we're for the world. One of the best things that we do each and every year is we send about 330, 350 high school students and volunteer adults down to Mexico over spring break, and they build homes for needy families in Mexico. It's an incredible outreach, it's an incredible ministry, and a real great experience for those who go. And there's a main fundraiser that we have. It's a Mexico mission trip auction, and it's next Sunday night. It's a week from today, right here in this room. And so I want you to take a look at a short video telling you what that's about and how you can participate. Take a look at this.
Every year, hundreds of students from our valley come with our church on a mission trip to northern Mexico, where we build houses for families in very poor conditions. Families desperately in need of some security and stability for their own children. The work our students do on this project changes the lives of these families forever. But more than that, this experience changes our students' lives. Many of our students have never really experienced life outside of this community. Many have never had a chance to serve someone else in a way that really makes a difference. And for many of the students coming with us, this trip will be the first time they will hear about the love of Christ that motivates what we are doing. Last year, we saw over 100 students respond to the gospel for the very first time. But this trip can't happen without your support. If you believe in what our students are going to be doing to provide homes for families in need, if you believe in the ways that God will use this trip to reach the hearts of our students, then we want to invite you to be a part of what we are doing. We're hosting a silent auction banquet here at CPC on Sunday, February 9th at 6:30 p.m. to raise support for our students. You can support us by donating items to the auction or by simply coming to the auction with a generous heart.
That trip, I went last year. It's not just the best thing that our high school students do or some adult volunteers. In my opinion, it's one of the best things that we do as a church, period. Amen. So if you want to be involved in that, if you want to go, if you want to serve, there's still room for you. If you want to be involved, you can't go down. It's the week before Easter this year, but you'd like to be involved or contribute in any way, show up next Sunday night. You could either donate something for the silent auction or you can show up with a generous heart. And let me translate coming with a generous heart. Be prepared to spend some money for the kingdom next Sunday night right here in this room. We are going to continue to worship through the receiving of our tithes and offerings. And so if you're new to CPC, don't feel obligated to give. We're just glad that you're here. We pray that you have a great experience. If this is your church home, we get excited about giving to the work of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So let's pray together, and the ushers will come forward, and we'll keep rolling through this service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to have a unique service this morning that points to you, that honors you, that glorifies your name, that rejoices in the truth of your gospel. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the generosity that you showed us through the giving of your one and only Son, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for your obedience unto death on our behalf to save us from our sins and to restore us into right relationship by faith with God the Father. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would bless this offering. We receive it in the name of Jesus. Increase it 30, 60, 100 fold. Help it to support the ministries not here in just the local church or in our region, our valley, but also to ministries among the nations and around the world. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
You will arrive. But you didn't come to this place alone. You will fight, but this war isn't yours to independently wage. Because this, my friends, this is shoulder to shoulder. You are family. You are brothers. You are warriors. And before you lies a victory that's more than worth your life of sacrificial preparation. A victory that can only be won by standing shoulder to shoulder.
I play football, and this is a very performance-based relationship that I'm in with this team. And the gospel says that we get to walk into a non-performance-based relationship. And here's Jesus saying, look, I came down, I did all the work for you. All you gotta do is just receive it, abide in me. And even the days you slip up, I'm still here to catch you.
He's a great father. You know, I've got three little kids, and showing them, you know, what it means to follow Jesus and to be the man of the household that I'm supposed to be. He's left the playbook behind for us to follow, and all we have to do is just listen and enjoy the ride that he's gonna put us on, because he already knows the ending result.
I think the biggest thing for me with Christianity and who God is that it's based on his unconditional love and grace.
I'm discovering God to be faithful and to be a promise-keeping God. Galatians 6:9, he says, never grow weary of doing good, for in due time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. So many times the Christian life feels like you're just sowing good things. It's like, man, when am I gonna reap the harvest, right? In that time, you know, the devil's throwing all those bad thoughts in your head. He's saying, oh, God's not really good. God's not really fair. No, God is good. Even if my circumstances aren't good, God is still good.
I think life is all about relationships, and this relationship with Jesus, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. With Jesus, it's one of those things where no matter what I do, he's still gonna love me, and that grace, and it's always enough.
All right, good morning. Y'all look good in your jerseys this morning.
Good morning, seriously.
I just want to tell you that. I'm thinking this should be our new setup.
I think so.
I mean, this feels pretty good. When I went to college, I had this dream. I'm going to be a sports broadcaster. I'm going to be on ESPN. And now I was going,
you
like,
almost made it.
I think we got it.
Man. It's like living a dream right now. Seriously. This is awesome.
I was thinking that first set of videos. You're going to see some amazing videos and testimonies in the next few minutes. And we're going to have a live interview testimony as well with a special guest. And one of the things I was thinking about, that first player Jordan Matthews, who talked about how football is such a performance-based career. I started to think, man, that must be really tough to have a career like that where everything is performance-based. But the more I thought about that, I thought that's probably how all of us feel about our career. Like if we go out, if we don't perform, then we won't be able to provide. If we don't do well at work in our career, then we won't be able to get a promotion or those types of things. So very performance-based. So it's challenging for all of us. I think it carries over into parenting even. There's a bunch of parents and grandparents here. There's a performance aspect to grandparent. I'm not being a very good mom, or I'm not being a good enough dad, or not providing enough, or those types of things. But I love that they said God is a good, good father, that he's faithful, that he's a promise-keeping God. And the other thing that stood out in those first videos is just that question, what role does God play in your life? And I recognize on a weekend like this where there's probably a lot of new people here or people from outside of the church, and we're just so glad that you're here. And I don't know where you are in your relationship with God. Like maybe you have a great relationship with God, you've been following Jesus for years and years, maybe you're just checking out church or this whole God thing. Wherever you are, what you're going to see today is that God is good even when the circumstances of our lives are not good. There are highs and lows in life that you will see here this morning, and yet God is still good through them all. Those are just a couple things that stood out to me.
Yeah.
How about you?
Did you guys notice Stefan Wisniewski? You recognize that name, right? Stefan is the nephew of Steve Wisniewski, longtime Oakland Raiders. So had an illustrious career with the Raiders, and now Stefan Wisniewski.
He spoke at one of our men's dinners, by the way.
Yeah, really. We'll be hearing more from him later this morning. But also, I didn't know this. I learned this last night that Stefan's cousin actually attended SRVCA, San Ramon Valley Christian Academy, here
Go
at
Eagles.
CBC, which is cool.
Go Eagles.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so by proxy, we have someone in the Super Bowl. Yeah. It's awesome. It's great. I loved what he was talking about, and I think I can relate with what he was saying. He was saying, do you ever feel like you sow and sow and sow your work? You're working really hard. You want to accomplish something. You've got a goal in mind, and you keep wondering, I keep sowing into this. Is it ever going to reap a harvest? Is anything good going to come out of this? Is the effort worth it? Can anybody relate with that type of effort? And I just think that's so relatable for me, because sometimes I do get tired. I do get weary of trying to do something and do the right thing even, wondering, God, is this going to work out? Is this going to play out? And the truth is, in that time, I think I'm slipping back into this performance-based mentality, trying to earn something with God that I don't have to earn. So we're going to hear more from Stefan later and others too. But now we're going to turn our attention to a video of Benjamin and Kirsten Watson. Benjamin Watson has had a 15-year career in the NFL. Incredible man of God. In fact, a few years ago, Tyler and I went to a breakfast, a Super Bowl breakfast in San Francisco, and we heard Benjamin Watson share there because he was one of the finalists for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. So this is a guy.
A big prayer breakfast. Remember when San Francisco hosted the Super Bowl a few years back?
Yeah. This guy's a guy that everyone knows has high character. He's a strong believer, a strong Christian, but he and Kirsten go through a really difficult time in their lives, and so they're going to share some of their story with us. Check it out.
If we lose, possibly my last game. If we win, which hopefully we do, there'll be another game after that, which will be in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. And on that Monday or Tuesday, I started getting pain in my stomach. The next day, I ended up going to the hospital, got a couple CAT scans, and gave me some medicine, and sent me home. Another doctor looked at my CAT scan and said, I think Benjamin has acute appendicitis. You need to get him to the hospital right now. A dear friend named David, came over to the hospital, prayed for me. My family was there. And I woke up, that was the first night I slept the whole week. They released me from the hospital. I go back to the facility and they tell me that, well, you weren't here the first 2 days of practice, Wednesday and Thursday, so the plan is for you not to play. Crushed. Because in my head, I had this awesome story of, I had appendicitis, God healed me. I came back in the NFC Championship, caught the winning touchdown. You know, it's going to be a Christian sensation. That's how my mom was rolling. Late April, early May, started thinking about, you know, maybe I want to play again. New England reached out after we made them aware that I wanted to play, and it seemed substantial. Like, it might really be an opportunity to play.
So when Benjamin decided to continue to play, then everything kind of shifts.
Moved the family across the country again.
And so the kids are there, the guys are moving the boxes out. It's the memory of walking through the house when there's nothing in there with all the kids.
Go to practice that week. I'm not activated that first week. Then the next week, things are kind of weird. And I was released. I was cut. I wasn't good enough.
We had five kids. And the question we always get is, are you done? And I just didn't have the yes. And then one night, I remember him saying, you know, let's go for number six. Let's try. And so I felt like we had waited, we had been patient, and that we had both heard yes from the Lord. And so to go and then get pregnant immediately, I was like, we were supposed to have six. And so the last thing that ever crossed my mind is that we wouldn't have the baby. When it didn't work out, and we found out that we had lost the baby, I remember thinking, God, I thought I was doing what you said. You know, five kids is a lot. We said yes to six. We must have been wrong, because surely God wouldn't allow that. And so we got pregnant again. And I said, well, maybe God really does want us to have this sixth baby. We were excited, we told the kids, and then something went wrong again. The baby's not growing. and there's no heartbeat. I'm just trying to be obedient, and I don't understand. And so this time was really rough, and we try again in July, and then I get pregnant. I'm looking at the lady giving the ultrasound, and she makes this weird face. And I say, "Is everything okay?" She's like, "Yeah, I see something." And so I say, "Well, is it a baby? Do you see a baby?" And she goes, "I see two babies." I look over at Benjamin, and I see him walking towards the TV screen with his mouth open. And then I look at the screen, and I see two babies. And I say, "You didn't tell me you had twins in your family." Because I don't. I was like, "I don't have any twins in my family. How do we have twins?"
Together for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And what is that good? That good is not necessarily what I think good is. It's always good, but it might not always be pleasant.
The enemy says, "If God loved you, wouldn't that be easy?" And somewhere along the line, I've bought in that lie. Then I have to go back to truth, and I look in the Bible, and I don't see that anywhere.
His promises are that you are an overcomer, that I love you, that I'll never leave you or forsake you. His promises are that I will always provide for your needs according to riches and glory. The promises are that I loved you so much that I sent my own son to die for you. His promises are that I've already written the book, so I know what's happening when you don't. His promises are eternal life. His promises are that I'll give you beauty for ashes.
So, yeah, we can clap for that. I've seen that video a few times now, and every single time, it gets me. I just appreciate their transparency, that question that they lead with, like, how can God be good if blank? And I was thinking for us, we probably all have an answer for that blank that we've thought, and maybe even recently. How can God, how can you be good if blank is happening? I don't know what that is for you. How can you be good if you lose a job, if you get divorced, if he leaves or she leaves, or you're forced to start over? I mean, how can you be good if someone gets sick or a disease or dies? How can you be good if you lose a baby or lose another baby? There's so many young families in this church. I can't tell you how many families have come to me just in the last year and said, we keep losing babies. And it's crushing us. Just appreciate that transparency. I was thinking even my own life in the last week, heavy week for us and our own family. I got some of my sons sitting right here, and my wife Bridget was in the last service, and hard week for us because our sister-in-law, or our boys' aunt, who's battling breast cancer, she's 39, 16 rounds of chemo, finished January 2nd, and then had major surgery, a double mastectomy this last week, and coming out of that surgery was greeted with the news that the cancer's all still there, and now they got to switch to radiation, and just a heavy week, and I had that same, like, God, what is going on? Come on. And so I appreciate their transparency. The other part that Benjamin said is, you know, you follow God. You're not promised to not experience hard things. That's not the promise of God. The promises of God are that he's always working. He quoted Romans 8:28, in all things, even bad things, good things and bad things, in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. And I was thinking, there has to be a word that someone here needs to hear. God is always working. God is, whatever you're going through, God is working. Amen? He's always working for our good. And then that last thing that Benjamin said, his promise is to return beauty for ashes. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things in our lives that feel like ashes, where we bring our ashes to the Lord, and through his power and his perseverance and his perfect timing, he makes that exchange and turns them into something beautiful. So that's just a couple things that stood out to me. How about you?
Really good. I mean, how can God be good if... Think about the thing that goes in that blank for you, because it's very likely that's your obstacle or your hurdle or the barrier to you moving forward in your faith. You say, well, if you don't have faith, maybe that's the thing that's sort of holding you back, but I thought God was a good God. And then that keeps you from sort of stepping out in faith and trusting Christ. Or maybe you have faith in Christ, but you're stuck in this place in your spiritual journey because of this thing that's sort of lingering in your life, and you're going, but God, I trusted you. Like Kirsten was saying, I'm just trying to be obedient, God. Why is this happening? And so that's become a thing that's sort of keeping you from experiencing the fullness of Christ in your life. And the reality is this, the good news of the gospel says that even when we're stuck and trapped, God makes a way. If we'll look to him, if we'll rely on him, if we'll come to him, God will walk us even through the darkest, most difficult diagnosis, through the worst disease, through addiction, through losing a parent or a child or a loved one. God is so gracious and so faithful. He's willing in those moments, even when we have those doubts, to carry us through anything we face in life. And that's just so encouraging. Well, now we want to hear from a live guest. We have Audrey Mongrain, who's a Raiderette. Would you welcome Audrey to the set today?
Hey.
How are you?
Thank you. Hey.
Come on in.
Yay.
Audrey, thanks so much for coming today.
Seriously. Thanks for having me.
Wow, it's so cool to have you here. I'm so excited for these people to get to hear your story too.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump right in. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your spiritual journey and how you kind of got started? Everybody's got a place where they kind of start on that spiritual journey. Talk about that moment for you.
Yeah, so I wasn't raised into a Christian family, but a lot of my friends were. I had one of my friends, her name was Ashley. She kept trying and trying to get me to go to church, and I kept saying, no, like, church isn't cool. Like, why would I go?
Whoa.
No offense to any of you.
I actually think we're really cool, which I'm sure, Audrey, you would say is proof that you're not very cool. So.
Well, I kept rejecting her, and then one day I was like, all right, like, let's go. And, you know, I really liked it. I enjoyed it. I felt very welcomed by the church. I continued to go, and then I kind of had a fallout, and I stopped going to church, and then that's when I auditioned for the Raiderettes for the first time.
Okay. At that first round, before you sort of had the falling out and you stopped going to church, would you say that at that point you became a Christian?
I wouldn't say I became a Christian. I'd say it was definitely a starting point. I was very welcomed by the church. I really admired everything about it, but I had that fallout, and then I don't think I went back to it.
Okay, the fallout, because I know your story was your senior year. You're going into your first audition as a senior in high school. That's incredible. Your first audition to become a Raiderette. Talk to us about your mindset going into that first audition. What were you thinking? How are you feeling about yourself? What was that like?
So I don't recommend this mindset for any of you. It's not the best. But I went in there with a very negative mindset. I was kind of just all about myself. I was the best. I knew I would make the team. I was very selfish, very self-centered. I only cared about myself. I didn't have any interest in meeting any other girls. I didn't want to become friends with any other girls. Didn't even want to help any other girl. I was ultimately the best. Like, why would you help your competition out? That made no sense to me.
Yeah. Okay, so walking in with that mindset, you're like, don't take on this mindset. So what was the result? What happened through that first audition.
So with that kind of mindset, I ended up not making the team. And I was super devastated because when I was a little girl, I actually did junior Raiderettes, and it's something that the Raiderettes hold for younger children.
Oh, there you are on screen.
That's
I see
me,
you.
Little baby
Audrey right there.
It's a really great program that they do. They give the kids an opportunity to go out on the field, perform with the Raiderettes during a pregame, a performance right before the game. And I remember when I went on the field, I was like, wow, like I am going to be a Raiderette when I'm older. That's my passion. That's what I'm going to do. And not making the team, I was just very confused. I didn't understand why I didn't make the team.
Yeah. So facing that rejection, not making the team, having the mindset that you had, how did you obviously you recovered because you're here now.
Hey.
So what happened? What happened between what then and now to sort of help you recover?
So I was super bummed, super upset, mad at myself, mad at everyone. And then if you guys remember Ashley, she came knocking on the door and said, Audrey, what's up, girl? Like, let's get you to church. And this
I gotta give Ashley a round of applause. One of the things that we've been working on, we even talked last week, a way to be fully engaged around here is to invite your friends to church. And so I just think that's really cool that Ashley, just once or twice, but several times at different seasons, just kept inviting you to church, and it made this huge impact on your life.
Hey, Ashley, if you're watching online right now, way to go. You're the reason Audrey's here today. So thank you so much. Way to go.
So without any hesitation, I said, okay, I'm going to go. And when I went, I learned that Jesus had died for me. Jesus loves me. And I decided to give my whole heart and my whole life to Jesus at that
point. That's awesome. Really cool. That's so cool. Okay, so now you have Christ, right? You've given your life to him. I love the story of how you got there. I love the power of invitation. You've invited Christ in your life. And now you're going to go back to your second audition. Talk to me about the difference between your mindset before Christ and now with Christ. What was different?
Yeah, such a big change. So if we go back, I had such that negative mindset. And I started to realize that when you have a negative mindset, you won't get very far in life.
Preach.
Yeah.
That's good.
And now that I'm committed to Jesus, I felt that I could help and serve my community in multiple ways. Throughout the year of before auditions happened, I started to see Christ do a little bit of work, and I realized that God has a plan and a path for me and for everyone. And he would do these little things throughout my journey of going into my second auditions that I knew that God was for me, and he is for all of you guys as well.
That's incredible. That's awesome. God is for you. What a great message. I mean, that's a message we've been preaching a lot here. God is for you. So that's
absolutely
really cool. Okay, so you have this new mindset. You've seen God working. I know you told me when you were telling me your story that the first time you auditioned, there was a girl who also auditioned. She made the team. You did not make the team.
Right.
But God sent her to you. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I had she's a Raiderette Kenzie. She reached out to me and said, hey, I remember you from last auditions. Are you auditioning again? I said, yeah, I'm going to go for it. She said, great. Let me help you with the audition process. Let me help you through it. I said, okay. And that right there is completely God's work. Completely God's work right there.
Wow, incredible. So, okay, you go to the second audition. You've got this new mindset. Tell us really quickly, what were your goals going into this second audition?
So I had two goals, and none of those included actually making the team. I had no goal to even make or anything with the team. My first goal was to meet a friend, to meet a sister, and my second goal was to help another girl out, whether it be put an eyelash back on in the middle of a crisis.
We need that kind of help. That's great.
See?
I love it.
Or landing.
That's a good goal.
Handing over another pair of tights if they ripped when we were dancing. I just wanted to be there for a sister.
Wow, incredible. Okay, so new mindset. Your first time, all about me. I'm the best. I'm going to make it. By the way, I think, Tyler told me before we came on the set, he feels that way about preaching too. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. I walk out here. I'm just going to crush it right now. Yeah. Every
time. No, just but kidding. So different mindset now. You're thinking about other people. How can I serve others? I'm not worried about the end result. God's got that. What I'm going to do is serve people, love people, encourage people, help people any way I can. You've seen God working in your life. So what happens through that second audition?
So at the second audition, I eventually made the team.
Awesome. Really cool.
Which was incredible. All God's work. All God's work.
Really cool.
God is great.
So now that God has given you this sort of position, He's given you this platform, what do you see God doing now in your life through this platform He's given you?
So, especially with being a Raiderette, I can use this platform to encourage and show Christ with everything I do.
Awesome.
Being a Raiderette, we do a lot of things for our community. We help those in need. We help the homeless. We like to go educate the children in lots of local school areas.
Really cool. That's awesome. Okay, finally, tell us about your future. What are your hopes, dreams? Like, where's Audrey going from this point forward? What's God doing moving forward?
God's got technically, lots of plans.
Technically, I'm going to let you guys in on a secret. There's no more Oakland Raiders.
Not Oakland.
So
Vegas,
what's the deal? Baby. Vegas, baby. Okay. So
yeah.
The Vegas Raiders. So what's happening now?
So definitely I've got a lot of plans ahead of me. I'm deciding to just pack up my life and move out to Vegas and hope for the best. No one's ever guaranteed a spot on the team, so you have to continually try out every single year. Your spot's always open for anyone to take. I'm going to take that great mindset again, go in with my two goals. I also recently got accepted into UNLV out there, so
that's
another reason to move.
Congratulations.
Super cool.
What are you going to be studying at UNLV?
I am going to be studying nursing, so I can hopefully become a children's nurse. So
incredible.
Excited about that.
Yeah, and your dad's actually an ER nurse,
yeah,
correct?
My dad's an ER nurse, so he actually inspired me to help others in that sort of field.
Oh, really cool. Yeah. Well, Audrey, I think, man, thank you so much for coming and
sharing
today.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you sharing.
Hey,
give Audrey a warm round of applause. Really.
Yeah. And before Audrey goes, I think it'd be cool to pray for her.
Yeah.
You want to pray? Let's bow your heads. Let's pray for Audrey. Lord, thanks so much for bringing Audrey to us. Thank you for her story. Again, just an authentic, transparent story. Thank you that she shared with humility the fact that her mindset was not right. She was focused on herself. And God, let that be a check to all of us that, you know, when we're focused on ourselves, it usually doesn't go well for us. I thank you, God, for her friend Ashley, who invited her to church multiple times. I thank you for revealing yourself to her and how much you've done for Audrey and that she gave her heart to you, Jesus. And thank you for all the transformation that you've brought. Now, God, I pray that you would bless her as she goes, as she moves to Las Vegas. I pray you'd help her to make the team so she can continue to leverage this platform that you have given her. I pray that you would bless her in her studies, that you would also bring her to a place where she has community, friends, a local church that she can plug into so she can continue to grow in her relationship with you, Jesus. We pray all these things in your blessing over Audrey. In Jesus' name and all God's people said, amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cool. Now we're gonna hear from a few more players who are actually gonna be playing in the big game later today. So check out some of their stories.
You know, my brother having passed away and going to heaven, I think it's really, you know, put me and not only me, but my family to a whole nother level of faith and believing. Dove into the Bible more than I ever have just throughout this process, because it's really the only place that I can find some peace. And really just knowing and reading about heaven, and because I know that's where my brother is, and just knowing without a doubt in my mind that I will see him someday, and that really, really is the only thing that really kind of brings me some peace.
I'm not going to the Father because every single time it's like, man, I need this, I want this. Like, I spend more time thanking in prayer now because I'm just like, man, like, I actually just get to be with you. And I know it doesn't even end on this side of eternity. I know that this gets to be forever.
The first 8 years of my career was a starter pretty much the whole time. And then last season I got benched. This year I got fired, rehired, fired again, and spent the first 5 weeks of this season on my couch watching football unemployed. Got a phone call from my agents who, you know, the Chiefs contact my agents, and he said, hey, the Chiefs want you, let's go. Week 16, got a shot to start, played well week 17, and I'm still playing, you know, started and played both playoff games. I'm gonna start in the Super Bowl. It's really God's showing off. It's actually amazing.
my upbringing around faith and around religion, both of my parents really loved God and served God. But for some reason, one thing that I pulled from that was rules and obedience. And so I thought, okay, as long as I'm a good person, I'd be able to get into heaven. But it was working. Everyone thought, oh, Prince is the good kid, and that was my reputation. Prince was a good guy, and to be honest, I kind of liked it, and I took pride in it also. When I got into high school and I had friends around music, now they were my comparison, they were my standard. So as long as I'm not doing what they're doing, as long as I'm being better than them in my eyes, then I'm still in right standing with God. At this camp, 500 kids. It's co-ed, boys and girls, about 12 different sports. There's college coaches there, so I'm thinking, okay, I'm here to showcase my talent and hopefully get on the radar to get a football scholarship. Each kid had their own group. In the group, we were doing Bible studies, and we would break the huddle, and we would do prayer. And one of the phrases we were saying was, like, for his glory. And I'm thinking, like for whose glory? Like, who's his? I still was kind of on the fence, but they played a clip with Christ with carrying the cross and people whipping him and spitting at him and wearing the crown of thorns and blood is on his face. And I'm thinking, like, wow, like, he did this for me. So it wasn't until I got into college I met with the team chaplain, and he took me and a number of guys under his wings. We started to go through books, and he taught us the word. We studied the word, and we ended up spreading the word, sharing our testimony. High school stage, I was a believer. College is when I became a follower and when I started to walk, and when I was able and learned how to give an account for what I believed in. There's nothing you can do to get God to love you more than he does right now, or to get God to love you less. He wants a relationship with you. When Jesus was at the cross, like, he knew that he was buying broken, prideful, selfish, sinful beings like us, and that should give us hope. The fact that a perfect God would want something so broken should tell us, like, how purposeful we are and how valuable we are.
So maybe one of my favorite lines of any of the videos that we watched this morning is when this last guy, Prince Amukamara, actually says, I took pride in being a good person. Like, I thought being a good person is the thing that would get me into heaven, because I think it's one of the common beliefs that many of us hold. Whether we're in the church or far away from the church or far away from God, we think it's about what we do. Again, it's back to that performance mindset that was mentioned at the beginning of the service. Like, it's about what we do. Where we know that the gospel message is, it's about what Jesus has done for us. Amen?
Amen.
So it's a very, very different mindset. And he said that his heart really was changed when he heard that gospel message and he saw that video at that camp. And God kind of broke his heart and said, this is what I've done for you. This is what I've done for you. I've given my life for you. I've sacrificed for you. And then he very clearly articulated how he transitioned from being a believer to a follower of Jesus. I don't just believe it. I'm actually following him. And then one other thing just to tease out is he's honest about the importance of reading God's word in growing from a believer to a follower. Like, mm-hmm. God's word is what matured him. God's word, spending time, he had a mentor, he studied God's word on his own, he studied it with friends. Reading the Bible and understanding God's love and his word is what matures us from going to a believer to a follower. So maybe there's someone in here who's going, like, hey, maybe that's my next step. I'm a believer, I've been around for a while, but I want to be a more active follower of Jesus, and to learn how to do that, you spend time reading God's word.
Yeah, I loved it too. He said there's nothing you can do to get God to love you more or to love you less. And that's, I need to hear that message. I wonder how many of us here, if we're honest, we're hesitating coming to Christ because, like, I need to clean some things up. I need to do some things better. I need to fix some things in my life, and then maybe I'll come to Christ, or maybe I'll be presentable, or I'll be ready to come to Christ. But the reality is, none of the good things that we try to do, or even the bad things that we feel disappoint God so much, none of those impact how much God loves us. God didn't send his son Jesus for the people who were good. He sent his son Jesus for all of us who need a savior. Not that we can come and clean ourselves up, but we just come to him. He knows exactly who we are, what we're into, what mistakes we've made, what struggles we have, what addictions we're wrestling with. He knows about our relationship problems. He knows about our struggles. He knows about our character issues and flaws. He knows about our doubts and fears, our anxiety, our depression, our struggle. He knows about all of those hurts. He knows about the diagnosis. He knows about cancer. He knows about all the things going on. None of those are lost on him. And he still says, just come to me. Just come to me. Come to me, and I'll do what only I can do. I will change you by my power. I can make you whole again. I can make you new again. You can't do it yourself. You need me to do it.
This last week, I just feel like in a service where we've got to call out something that's been happening in our culture in the last week, and that is the tragic death of Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter Gianna and those seven other people who died in a helicopter crash 1 week ago today. I'll probably never forget, it's been all over the news all week, I'll probably never forget walking off this stage last Sunday after the 10:45 service, and our children's minister, Ryan Suzuki, walks up and he says, "Hey, I need to tell you something. It's horrible, but you're gonna be asked about it a ton starting right now," and that is that Kobe Bryant just died in a helicopter accident. I was like, are you kidding me? So I don't know about you, but I was bummed out all week, and I was watching all these things on, it was a time to pause and to reflect. And so we have a video, just a brief video of an interview with Kobe from a few years ago. And we want you to watch it before we wrap up the service and say a few more things. Just it speaks into a season in Kobe's life where he was humbled, and he was confronted with the message of the gospel, and it took root in his life. And Jeremiah, give him a little context for this video as well.
Yeah, the video is from 2006, and I don't know if you remember this happening, but Phil Jackson, who was Kobe's coach, made some pretty unflattering comments through the media about Kobe. And so now Kobe's having to come in front of the media and sort of answer these questions. Like, how are you going to respond to your coach, Phil Jackson, based on the things he just said about you? And so he's at this interview with Stephen A. Smith, and so that's what they're referencing when they talk about how he's going to respond. Check out Kobe in this video.
Would the Kobe Bryant from years ago would you have easily forgiven this man the way that you do now?
I don't know. I think that now. You go through life's trials and tribulations to learn, man, to become a better person. Mm-hmm. And the point of life that I'm at now is to not sit back and pass judgment on people and hold that against them.
Just having to go through what you went through.
God is great.
Is it that simple?
God is great. Don't get no simpler than that, bro.
Did you know that? I mean, everybody knows that, but the way you know it now, did you know it before that incident took place?
You can know it all you want, but until you got to pick up that cross that you can't carry, and he picks it up for you and carries you and the cross, then you know.
What an impactful video. And it is sad that we lost Kobe and his daughter Gianna and the seven other people in a tragic accident. It's really sad, but this video is 14 years old, and we can see how Kobe has heard the gospel, and he's responding to the gospel even in this difficult situation. A guy with definitely a checkered past at this point in his career, who had certainly made some mistakes, but you can hear in his voice how he has hope because of what God has done through Jesus Christ. That gives me great hope, knowing that Kobe places faith in Christ, knowing that now he's going to spend eternity with our Father in heaven. And I think I have great hope because of what we stand to gain in eternity. But you know, Christ didn't come and just give his life just so that we could have eternity in heaven. You remember when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, right? In Matthew chapter 6, what did he say? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. It's not just about eternity, life after death. That's very important. And I believe when you know Jesus Christ, you stand to gain eternity with him forever in heaven. But it's also about living in his kingdom now and what he wants to do in your life now. Before you get to the other side of eternity, he wants to work in you now. He wants you to experience a piece of heaven in your life now by the peace and the hope that you can have in Jesus Christ. I love what Prince Amukamara said when he was at that camp and they showed a video of Christ carrying the cross. He was carrying the cross and he said that broke him, that tore his heart open as he saw Christ taking the abuse and the pain and suffering, offering himself as a sacrifice for us. And his response was really good. And I wonder if it's some of our response today. It's definitely mine. Is, wow, Jesus did that for me. And the reality is that whether you've received and accepted Jesus' love and forgiveness today or not, he did that for you. And he did that for me. And I loved what Kobe said at the end of his interview. He said, you know, you really begin to understand God's love and his sacrifice for you when you find yourself in the most difficult moments of life trying to pick yourself up and carry your cross, and you realize in that moment you cannot carry it. And then he said, and then Christ comes. Not only does he pick up the cross that you're trying to carry, but he picks you up too and carries you. My question for you today is, has there been a moment where you've responded to Jesus Christ saying, I'm trusting you as the Lord and Savior of my life? Two ways you might respond to this football Sunday. Number one, maybe you're here and there's never been that moment where you've just come and just falling down in front of Christ and said, I give my life to you. I'm asking you to save me, making him the Lord of your life, entering into a relationship with him. The other is this. Maybe you're a believer. You're a believer. You've been at this a long time. You believe firmly. You have a firm faith in him, but you've never made the transition. You've never taken the next step from believer to follower of Christ. What next step is God calling you to take? Is he calling you to get more committed in gathering together with other believers so you can grow in your faith? Is it reading scriptures like Tyler was talking about? Is it finding a group to get connected? How is God helping you take that next step so you can grow in your faith? I want to take just a moment. We're going to pray, and I would ask that you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we pray. And I want to give you an opportunity. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why would you hesitate? Why would you wait another moment? I want to give you a chance to respond to him today in faith, saying, Jesus, I want you to come in and to save me. I want you to be the Lord of my life. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? I'm going to say a prayer and I'm going to use words, but you can use your own words and you say them in your own mind and your own heart and you mean them with everything inside of you. The prayer goes something like this. And if you want to receive Jesus Christ today, then you could pray this prayer in the quietness of your own mind, your own heart. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. That's easy. I know it's true. But I believe, Jesus, that you gave your life for me. You sacrificed yourself for me so that I could be forgiven. And I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you to come into my heart and my life and to save me. And I don't ever want to be the same again from this moment forward. Thank you for dying for me and rising again and saving me from the power of sin and death. I don't ever want to be the same from this moment forward. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one's looking around. It's just me. I'm the only person looking. If you would say, you know, Pastor Jeremiah, today I said that prayer in my own mind, in my own heart, and I received Jesus Christ for the first time. I want to ask you to take a bold step. I'm the only person looking around. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Would you just lift your hand where you are and say, today I gave my life to Christ for the first time. Just lift your hand where you are. No one else is looking around. Awesome. Praise God. Many hands. Just keep your hand up. I want to pray for you. Many hands going up. I see you there. Thank you. Awesome. Many hands. People responding to Christ for the first time today. Just lift your hand where you are. Keep it up for a second. I want to pray for you. I'm the only person looking around. Dear Jesus, for the many, many hands around the room of adults and teenagers, kids, Lord, saying, today, I give my life to you. Lord, would you draw close to them and encourage them in a way that they've never been encouraged before, Lord? I pray that they would find a church home, hopefully here at CPC or at another church, God, where they have people who are encouraging them to grow in their faith. Thank you, Lord, that you accept us just the way that we are. We don't have to clean ourselves up, Lord. You just accept us and love us and forgive us. Thank you for the many who have come to faith in you today, in Jesus' name. You can put your hand down. Now, Lord, I just pray for those of us in the room who we come to this moment, we realize we're in many ways a believer, but there are some challenges, some steps you're calling us to take to become a follower, someone who's committed in our life to following you every day, every week, every month, Lord. I pray that you would help us to shorten the gap between obedience in our lives. Help us to become obedient, Lord, to pursue spiritual growth in you like we never have before. Thank you, Lord, again for the incredible stories and testimonies we've heard today, Lord. I believe you've been so honored and glorified, Lord, and thank you for the many who came to Christ today for the first time. It's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wow. I think it'd be cool to encourage those who raised their hand and responded to Jesus this morning. That's great. If you raise your hand and gave your heart to Christ, grab one of these yes packets on your way out. They're in the lobby on the far left. You'll see a sign that's got these yes packets. What this is a great resource to help you on your journey with Jesus. It asks and it answers from the Bible many questions that you probably have. It's got a Bible reading plan in there for you. It will help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Yep. And then one other thing I forgot is, did you guys notice before you walk out, we got one more thing to do. You got something when you walked in. You know what that's for? We're about to raffle off this 49ers helmet right here to one lucky winner. This is an autographed helmet. The autographed here is, it says Jeremiah Raymer. It's you. Are you? No, I'm just kidding. It's not autographed, but it is a sweet helmet. And so we got, I think we have a little.
We have some tickets
coming.
Coming, I know.
With tickets. Oh, we're coming for the raffle.
They're coming. Oh, they're here.
Right there.
Thank you for that. I really appreciate that.
Good eye, good eye.
I'm going to pull your ticket out of here just for that help.
Everybody got their tickets ready? All right, I'm going to draw one.
Oh, not that one.
Nope, not that one. I'm going to draw one. I'm going deep in there. I got one.
Maybe this one.
Okay, I got it.
Oh, he's got it.
I got it. If I can read it. Holy moly.
Got your ticket? You looking? Need some help, bro?
Ready? I got to hold it this far away now. 3, 8, 3, 2, 0. 6, 3, 8, 2. Sorry, 383-206. 383-206.
If you won, come on up.
383-206. We got a winner right here.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Woo!
383-206. Now here's the question. It's always interesting in a church.
Yeah.
Do we check the ticket? Just to come on up here. Come on up here.
He's totally kidding.
What's your name?
Casey.
Casey, all right.
Wait a second. Your name's Casey? Wait, what?
She's got it.
The irony of it all.
383-206. We got a winner. Casey, congratulations. Are you serious? Awesome. All right.
Go Niners. Way to go, Casey.
All right, nice job.
I can't say go Casey, but, you know, whatever.
You got a marching band out there. You got hot dogs. You got churros.
Ooh,
you got bouncy
churros.
Houses only for the kids. God bless you and hope to see you next
Thank
week. Go Niners!